Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Reese on the radio, we are back, we are live. Long weekend, long weekend, it seemed like forever. But we are back, right here on Reese on the radio. On this June the 25th, 2012, now I don't know what's going to happen on Friday. I have to go to court, supposed to have a hearing, that whole bit, and whether or not we'll be doing a show on Friday, we don't know yet. We might find out. We may know, I don't know, we won't know till Friday. But nonetheless, we've got plenty in store for you today. And oh man, my hands, I'm warming them up. Let me let you hear me warming my hands up. Thursday's going to be a big show on Reason and Radio. I'm already predicting the end of Obamacare. It's going to be happening. I'm warming my hands up. Oh yes, I'm so ready. The Supreme Court of the United States didn't want to give it to me today. They just didn't want to give me the satisfaction. But that's good. I like the delay. It's been a delay for so many weeks now. Last week we thought we were going to have it. Today we thought we were going to have it. That's okay. Still warming my hands up. But they gave me something to talk about today. Oh, they gave me plenty. And two of the big things that I talk about often, I talk about immigration. And I talk about homosexuals. I love talking about the immigrants and homosexuals. I don't know why. If you give me a group of immigrant homosexuals, I'd probably hit the mother load. But we are going to talk about those two. We got 1 hour to talk about immigration. And we'll do the next hour talking about a homosexual. Because there's plenty that went on this week that involved the homosexuals. And of course today, the Arizona law. JC, I know you're going to say. Go ahead. Come on, come on. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
I think if you were in a discotheque in Mexico, you'd lose your damn mind.
I guess I would. I would. As a talk show host, I would lose my mind. But we have to talk about the Arizona immigration law ruling today by the Supreme Court of the United States. And I'd like to talk to you about the way the liberal media is covering this, because they're up in odds. They love this story because they know it promotes, as far as they see it, they know it promotes racism. And they love racism. Especially when it comes to illegal immigrants. Oh, they don't care about you niggas. But they are angry about the Latinos. Latinos mean more. Latinos mean more than African Americans when it comes to liberal bias in this country. Hey, you don't have to quote me, folks. All you have to do is look it up. I talk about the racial bias all day, every day. But see, Latinos vote in larger numbers than African Americans. They know that African Americans, they don't vote. They don't show up to the polls. Again, you have no political power. As I've always expressed, African Americans have no political power because you don't show up at the polls. And when you do, you only vote one way. Latinos, on the other hand, strong possibility that you could lose their vote. You can lose a part of their vote, and in larger numbers than African Americans. They know that African Americans will vote overwhelmingly for a Democrat, or they won't vote at all. They don't see the African-American vote changing in any way. Oh, it's always up in the higher 80s. But see, you have to pay attention to a vote when the numbers of approval for liberals, when the numbers are around the 60s, it's especially when you need them all. Latinos outnumber African Americans 2-1. So seeing a number in the 60s for Democrats, as far as Latino votes go, that's great for them. But they know that they don't have the full measure of the Latino vote. So you have to stop what it is that you're doing and pay attention to that. We need more. We know that Latinos, it's hard to gauge them. Even though we may have a majority, it's only a little over half when it comes to the voting process. African Americans, we know we got you locked. We ain't got to worry about you. We have to give you nothing. Latinos, we have to pander to them. Because it can go either way. Not either way in the sense that it can go 50-50, but enough to make them go, this 60% or this 65%, it's good, but not really enough. We need more. If we know that 30% of you will vote the other way, we know that 30% may be able to influence more of those on the other side. That's a large margin. African Americans, on the other hand, ain't no way that 5% is going to influence the other 95%. It's a losing battle. That's the reason why they're not worried. So, as you know, 4 of the 5 parts of the Arizona immigration law were struck down by the Supreme Court today. But the most controversial, as everyone's calling it, the law that says the police department in Arizona, if they stop you in the middle of a, you know, police action, driving drunk, broken taillight, get into a fight, domestic violence, whatever it is. Hey, show me some ID there, buddy. Oh, what do you mean you don't have ID? What's your name? Let me check that in my computer. Oh, Hector Consuelo. I got no records on you. All right, lock him up. We don't know who he is or where he comes from. Let's get this thing done and over with and get him out of this country. And they're scared. Liberals are frightened. It's going to lose potential voters. And here's what NBC. Oh, sorry, ABC News. I apologize. ABC News. We'll go to them first. ABC News. Their report on this today. And listen to how it is that they phrased it. It's very important. Watch them. Listen to how they speak. I love the English language. It's important to me.
Show me your papers. That's the most controversial part of Arizona's law. It empowers police during any routine stop to check a person's immigration status. That provision was upheld by the court. So now if police stop you in Arizona for jaywalking or running a stop sign or anything else, they can demand proof you are here legally. The court sympathized with Arizona's plight, saying that states can assist in enforcing existing federal immigration laws. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote in the court's opinion, Arizona bears many of the consequences of unlawful immigration. And so Governor Jan Brewer declared victory today, proclaiming that the law she signed
has unanimously been vindicated by the highest court in the land.
But that's only partly true. Remember, it is not a federal crime simply to be in this country illegally. So,
and that's the part that scares me, folks. It's not a federal crime for you to be in the country illegally. But shouldn't it be? Shouldn't it be a federal crime? I mean, wouldn't they say it was a federal crime if an Al-Qaeda member entered the country illegally? Wouldn't they say the same about a Canadian who entered the country illegally? But it's not a federal crime if you're Mexican?
The Supreme Court struck down other parts of Arizona's law, declaring that states can't make it a state crime to be in the U.S. illegally or make it a crime to get a job in the U.S.
And now you can get a job in the U.S. It's not a crime. Sure, come on over. Not a crime.
President Obama liked that part of the ruling, saying in a written statement, a patchwork of state laws is not a solution to our broken immigration system.
By the way, there is a patchwork of state laws in this country because a state is a sovereign nation. It's a sovereign state. State law, and if you need any proof of that, just go to President Obama's own claim about gay marriage in the country. Is that state has the right to make its own laws when it comes to gay marriage. But not so much when it comes to illegal immigrants.
Justice Antonin Scalia rejected that idea, writing in a scornful dissent, Arizona has the inherent power to exclude persons from its territory. And our David Wright tonight is in Arizona, where the law will have real-life impact.
Now, again, this is the liberal media telling you that this law is going to have real-life impact. They're so concerned about the impact of illegals in this country, but yet say that Fast and Furious, that led to the death of 300 people in Mexico, is only political. It's just political. Oh, it's a political issue. It's not a big deal. This is going against party. It's just going down party lines. You know, this isn't a real scandal. This isn't Watergate. A minor break-in into a hotel. That national issue. You know, national ramifications led to the impeachment and then, of course, resignation of a conservative president. Big issue. Bob Woodward, the Washington Post, heroes behind that. Fast and Furious, nothing.
As of today, anyone in Arizona who gets pulled over by the authorities will have to convince the officer they're here legally.
This whole illegal immigration problem that's facing our nation. So,
by the way, they have to convince? What do you mean convince? Show ID, stupid. Convince?
Something has to be done with it.
For the Gutierrez family, a huge worry. Vladimir Gutierrez is not a citizen, but his kids are. He now carries a document in his glove compartment, so if he's arrested and deported, his kids won't end up in foster care.
This person's designated to act as guardians of our minor child.
Yeah.
And there's one for each of them.
Uh-huh.
But what of the tens of thousands of Hispanics who are in Arizona legally? People like attorney Ezequiel Hernandez.
If you're in the country legally, you won't be deported, stupid.
Worried they'll now be suspects in their own state.
I have a tie on today and I drive a Prius, so I'm probably the last Hispanic that you're going to stop in Arizona, and I have a truck. If I'm driving my beat-up truck, completely different spectrum.
Local law enforcement has the authority and the duty to determine a suspect's citizenship status, but it's still up to federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement whether to deport them.
What will happen? Will ICE accept them? And if they accept them, will they let them out the back door?
Now, that's a very important part here. By the way, that's Joe Arpaio, who you hear speaking there, the sheriff. Everyone's calling him the America's sheriff. Now, he's saying whether or not ICE will let them out the back door. What they're not reporting here on this ABC News report is that today it was announced by the Department of Homeland Security, Arizona. If you call us about someone you find who is an illegal alien, don't call us. We'll do nothing. We won't even accept your phone calls. We're not going to give you any aid. We're not going to send ICE. We're not going to send anything. We're not going to assist you. If you find somebody, don't pick up the phone and call us. We're not supporting you. Because we, as a government, that's White House, and the Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, the head of Department of Homeland Security, is pretty much saying, screw you. We don't like this law. And if you call us about these people that you caught, so what? It means nothing to us. It's Joe Arpaio with some more.
I'll be deported. So I got a couple of strategies in case that happens, which I predict will happen. What are you going to do? That's my secret.
In some other jurisdictions, local sheriffs are not happy. They can be sued if they don't enforce the immigration law.
We have limited resources. And if we tie up resources doing those kinds of things, then it keeps us from doing other things.
Arizona has already spent $3 million defending this law, and clearly there will be more challenges. Civil rights groups already saying that they will argue this isn't just routine law enforcement, but will end up being illegal racial profiling.
This will just be illegal racial profiling. Unlike the stop and frisk program in New York City. According to them, unlike. But it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Isn't it the same thing? The stop and frisk program says that if you're in a bad neighborhood and you look suspicious, the police can stop you, pull you over, and ask for your identification and search you. But the libs seem more concerned about this than they do about the stop and frisk program in New York, which apparently people seem to applaud. I go further.
Diane?
All right, David Wright in Arizona. And as you know, David, all day long, we have been following the furious debate on the internet, especially from the Latino community.
Really, Diane Sawyer? Especially from the Latino community? So we're not going to get a fair and unbiased conversation about this law? We're not going to talk to people who applaud this law? We're just going to talk to the Latino community? Who, for some odd reason, they seem to be okay with the fact that people can come into this country legally or illegally without being stopped. But no, I apologize. Let me continue.
One perspective tonight from Univision, our new partners and friends, and the number one Hispanic network in America.
Now, think about that. Our partners and our friends, people who support people coming to this country illegally. Oh, if you don't believe me, let them tell you themselves.
I talked to the co-anchor of Univision's Evening News, Jorge Ramos. Jorge, what does this mean for our shared audience tonight?
I think it's very disappointing and very dangerous. This is a very sad day for the Hispanic community. When the Supreme Court allows a state like Arizona to use racial profiling as a rule, we know that we really need immigration reform right now. The Hispanic community, as expected, did not like the show me your papers provision, and this would only create more persecution and discrimination in Arizona and in many other states. It's difficult to believe that the immigration law in Arizona could be an example for other states in the country, and it's even more difficult to believe that Sheriff Joe Arpaio could become a role model for other law enforcement agencies. It's completely unreal.
And what's so unreal?
Okay.
Wait. Just make my point. What's so unreal there? Huh? Jorge Ramos? What's so unreal that Arizona has an immigration problem? A documented, and I use that pun intentionally, a documented immigration problem? They're a border state where people are being shot and killed? Where people are transporting drugs? Where people are being kidnapped, beheaded? That's unreal to you? No documentation of crime happening in New York City in these black communities that justify the stop and frisk program, but documented truth going on in Arizona of the illegal alien problem in that country.
In that state.
I thank you. In that state, from their country. That's unreal to you? Let me finish.
Tell me some of the personal stories you're hearing from people about their experience with this and what they expect to happen now, what they're doing.
The last hope is gone. Many people were expecting a positive decision from the Supreme Court, and it's gone. So it means that right now they have to take cover, and that essentially for many people means leaving Arizona, going to other states.
That's right. Leave Arizona. Get the F out. Get out of here. Go to a sanctuary state like California. They're not going to do anything. Get there. Plenty of work for you over there. That's right. Leave Arizona. Do you not get it? Arizona doesn't want you. And that shouldn't be a slight on Arizona. They don't want you. They want you out. So, yes, the law means that you have to duck and cover, hide, or get the F out. Peace, bitches. We'll see you later.
This is not the kind of United States that we thought of when we were immigrating from Mexico or Central America to the United States. This is not the kind of country that we expected, and this is exactly what we're seeing. So,
What did you expect? What did you expect when you got here illegally? Now, if you're trying to suggest that people who got here legally were expecting something better, well, guess what? They're going to get something better because they're here legally, and they're not going to be profiled. They're not going to be harassed because they're here legally. But who are you talking about when you say, we didn't expect this when we came to this country? Who are you talking about? But, of course, he doesn't address that. And he's allowed to just make that statement, of course, to somebody like Diane Sawyer.
We really need major immigration reform. And both parties are to blame for that inaction in Congress. But right now, what I'm listening to from emails and phone calls and from talking to people in Arizona, it's fear and fear of persecution in the future.
Thank you.
Fear of persecution. Fear of persecution. The same thing that African Americans have been complaining about for decades, if not hundreds of years. Persecution. So, you're being persecuted, huh? Didn't know that. All right, now it's time to go to NBC News. And our good friend Brian Williams. Let's hear how they spun the story.
Good evening. This is the end of the Supreme Court's term. On Thursday, we learn their judge.
Oops. Sorry about that. I got to do that over.
Good evening. This is the end of the Supreme Court's term. On Thursday, we learned their judgment on the Obama health care plan. But today came the other major decision of this late term when the court struck down some key portions of that controversial law in Arizona meant to crack down on illegal immigration. It's an emotional issue. It's a local issue in a lot of places. And it's political, of course, especially in an election year. But the court said today, in effect, the federal government gets to deal with immigration, not the states. We have it covered tonight from Washington to Arizona to the law itself. We begin with our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, at the Supreme Court. Pete, good evening.
Brian, this is a narrow victory for Arizona, but enough of one for the governor to declare victory today and to vow to start putting the surviving parts of the law into effect as soon as all the legal battles are over. While the court today struck down major parts of Arizona's tough immigration law, one that inspired state crackdowns around the nation, it unanimously upheld the most controversial requirement that police making arrests or traffic stops check the immigration status of anyone suspected of being here illegally and detain them until their status is verified.
This is the day that we have been waiting for. And make no mistake, Arizona is ready. We know the eyes of the world will be upon us.
Four justices joined Anthony Kennedy's overall majority opinion. The court's three liberals and Chief Justice John Roberts. The three other conservatives dissented. Justice Elena Kagan, who worked on the issue before she came to the court, sat this one out. Today's ruling came with a warning for Arizona that if police detain people too long to check their immigration status or use the law as a pretext for rounding up suspected illegal immigrants, then the part of the law upheld today might cross the line of what's constitutional.
I think the court is saying there are very strict limitations on how this provision can ever be implemented. I think it's also saying there are substantial legal matters to be resolved before any implementation goes forward.
The surviving part of the law now goes back to the Arizona courts to consider whether it invites racial profiling, something the state strongly denies. Today's ruling struck down provisions of the Arizona law that made it a state crime for illegal immigrants to look for work or to lack proper immigration papers, and that would have let police there arrest without a warrant anyone they suspected of being here illegally.
Which I cannot stand about this law. Because if you do think that someone is here legally, You should be, hey, just like we, you know, the police department does a drug raid. You know, they suspect somebody selling drugs. You know, they do a little bit of investigation. They realize that, you know what, this place is a drug den, and we run in there and we grab these sons of guns. But police can't do that now because that was struck down. Can't do it. Not going to happen. We continue.
Justice Antonin Scalia spent 11 minutes reading a forceful dissent, saying Arizona should be entitled to pick up the slack and lax federal enforcement. And he called the Obama administration's new policy, letting children who were brought here illegally remain, quote, the non-enforcement program. The court will be in session just one more day this term, Thursday, and that's when we'll get the health care decision, ending this term with maximum drama. Brian?
All right, Pete Williams, where it all happened today. Pete, thanks. And now to where this all started. This was the Arizona case the court decided today, after all. NBC's Mike Taibbi is there tonight and has reaction for us to the court ruling.
It only seemed like a normal day for Leticia Ramirez's family, her husband off to his construction job, and her children watching early morning TV. But she and her husband have been in this country illegally for over a decade. And when she later watched the Supreme Court ruling unfold, she said the verdict, though it only upheld the so-called show your papers part of the law, was still threatening.
It's going to affect the whole community because they're not going to be able to go out, have a normal life.
You can't have a normal life, bitch! You don't belong here! You have a normal life in the country of your origin! How are you gonna have a normal life living as a criminal? No criminal in this country is supposed to have a normal life! You're a criminal! How dare you call yourself normal in a country you weren't born in? Or ask for a normal life that you have no constitutional right to be in? Normal. These people!
They're going to be afraid that if we go out, they might be, we might get stopped just for your color.
You're not going to get stopped for your color. You're not going to get stopped for your color. There's too many of you there. That's not how it works. Run a red light. Drive drunk. Punch somebody in the face at a bar. Shoot somebody. Stab somebody. Leave your kids unattended at the Walmart inside of a car.
In 120 degree weather
in Arizona. That's the kind of stuff. Act normal, you'll be all right.
Kelly Townsend is a mother, too.
My daughter is half Hispanic.
She and other supporters of 1070 saw today's ruling, which requires law enforcement to check immigration status, as a clear win and a reason to keep pushing for the parts of the bill ruled unconstitutional.
I do believe that is a victory. That was the heart of SB 1070. One step at a time, if necessary.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
Meanwhile, on the front lines of the state's effort to curb illegal immigration, local units like Pima County's Border Crimes Unit work with federal Border Patrol agents to try and stem the flow along 120 miles of border.
If they get to this spot, they're almost home free.
Yes.
The Sheriff's Department has detained and arrested hundreds while SB 1070 was drifting in the political winds. And Pima County Sheriff Clarence Stupnick says the ruling will change nothing about how this job is done.
And it shouldn't. You grab them, you detain them, you send them back. It's that simple. And keep patrolling that border. I salute you. I commend you. Keep patrolling that border. We continue.
It doesn't take a genius to determine whether somebody is here illegally given the reality of our work.
It's also a reality that most in this state believe Arizona must do what they say the federal government has not done.
This is the law. We need to enforce it.
And a reality, too, that one group primarily believes today's ruling leaves them as vulnerable as ever. Arizona has already spent about $3 million defending its controversial law, most of it from private donations. There are some questions raised today about whether there'll still be the appetite, the political will to continue to defend the law vigorously if the taxpayers have to start footing the bill. Brian?
Mike Taibbi in Phoenix for us tonight. Mike, thanks. And now we're going to talk about politics and the law. First of all of this, of course, taking place in a presidential election year. With us now, our chief White House correspondent and political director, Chuck Todd, who is at the White House. Chuck, look at this for us. vis-a-vis the campaign underway?
Well, I won't even go into that. That one's even more ridiculous. Because more people are concerned about how this affects Obama than it does the American people. Because that's all the press seems to care about. How does this affect Obama? How does it affect Obama? How's Obama going to deal with this? How's Obama going to deal with this in the presidential election? What about Obama? Forget you and I. How does it affect Obama? How's it going to deal with our Lord, our Savior, Obama? That's all they seem to care about. America.
Obama!
What do you want to say, Mayor?
You have to have an identification card to go into 7-Eleven or any local store, any store, and buy cigarettes or beer. You have to have an ID. Not only do you have to have an ID, but you have to have an ID with you. It has to be with you at all times.
Mary, you're going to laugh. I saw yesterday a guy go into a 7-Eleven to buy a lighter, and the guy in 7-Eleven asked him for ID.
Yes.
A cigarette lighter.
Yes, you have to have ID.
So, okay, continue with your point. That was why I wanted to bring that up, because that was odd when I saw that.
So, you have to have proof of your date of birth and all that. Okay. So now we're going to let all these Latinos and everybody else that's undocumented in this country.
That's right.
We're going to let them stay here as long as they can provide us with what type of documentation to prove who they are and how old they are. Do you know how many 40-year-olds are going to be saying, no, I was born in 1979. I'm 30. I just turned 30. I can stay here in this country.
Exactly.
My name is Josu Rivera. And really, your name is Penelope
Esther House.
Or something. You know, I mean, how are we going to allow these people to stay in this country? And the more immigrants, the more illegal immigrants you allow in this country and to stay in this country, the more they reap the benefits of our tax dollars. We can't reap our own benefits of our own tax dollars when we need it.
And
because there's too many foreigners getting it that shouldn't be getting it. I can't go to freaking Mexico and say, excuse me, do you have a Section 8 program that I can get on so
there
I can
go
in the lap of luxury and pay $8 a month rent?
There you go. You're absolutely right.
Can I get some food stamps? Do you have a food bank I can go to? Can I get some government cheese?
Mary,
you can't go anywhere.
The same things that are allowed in this country, you can't do anywhere else in the world.
Yet the president can go ahead, the president that is supposed to work for us, he's on our payroll. Our tax dollars pay his salary.
That's right. Working for us.
Yeah.
For the people, by the people.
And ain't nothing he's doing for any of us. I mean, I'm appalled by this. It's so unbelievable to me. And I'm all for, everybody knows I'm a bleeding heart. We want to help everybody. We want to, you know, give everybody opportunity they want to. But the more people you give these opportunities to that did not get it, be birthed in this country, the less we are going to get, the less we're going to have access to help them.
On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we jump in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Resona Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The come adult on. Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 nice. Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you
doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold onto the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford 4 more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Blogtalkradio.com. June the 25th, 2012. Of course, we're talking about the Supreme Court's decision to strike down 4 of the 5 parts of the Arizona immigration law. But the most important, and as liberals call it, the most controversial, I love Edward's tweet. Edward just tweeted, Edward in Connecticut just tweeted, he says, you ever notice when the libs don't like something, they call it controversial? You're absolutely right. That is their way of eluding the idea of calling it wrong. Instead of saying, oh, we don't agree with this, they call it controversial. We don't agree with the law, so instead of saying that and appearing biased, they call it controversial. Well, that's partially because they believe that everyone agrees with them. That's the reason why they do it. Now, Mike in Florida also tweeted me the rules or the law they should break. Mike, I have to admit to you, unfortunately, I can't always read that live because I've got my phone here. And I want, trust me, I want to read it. But it's difficult for me to read it in the middle of, because then I got to open up another window on the screen, and then, you know, it's a whole other mess. But I'm sure Mike will call in later. The number is 347-308-8701, and we'll talk about it, of course. Jose Antonio Vargas, who was a part of that Time magazine cover that came out a couple of weeks ago, that had all of these Latinos on it, saying, we are all Americans, and the bottom, it read in parentheses, we're just not legal.
And you're not a freaking American. You're only an American if you have papers and you become legal. This isn't a freaking free-for-all.
That's what it is. Exactly. We're a welfare state. And again, I blame Puerto Ricans for this. I'm sorry. I blame Puerto Ricans for this. Because Puerto Ricans, they don't have any rights to, like, you know, their government can't vote. They don't have any real say. They're a welfare state in our country.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't think that they don't have any say.
They don't. How do they have any say? How do they have any say?
Obama is getting campaign money from over there.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
So if you think that money is coming through.
Oh, I understand that.
But they
part,
don't have any rights to say, somewhere behind the scenes, some officials in their country or in their province or what territory,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
it is,
yeah,
mm-hmm, has got something to say with dead presidents on what goes on.
Oh, yeah,
on
they have.
Opinion.
I agree with you that they have some political influence. You're absolutely right. Sure. If a politician can fundraise there, I'm sure they have political influence. Absolutely. They can turn themselves into a special interest group. And I understand that. You have money, you know, your interest will follow. What my part is, and look, Jose Vargas, look at his element in the U.S. illegally, but yet he's on national television. And what is he trying to say? He's trying to suggest, oh, you know, I should be allowed.
Whoa. He's sitting there on TV just as an illegal immigrant.
As an illegal, exactly, in this country illegally,
And he is on the cover of Time. He is now on Fox News. He's just allowed to sit there and push his narrative.
And they're paying him to go on their show.
In this case, he's not being paid. He's being interviewed, so he's not being paid. He's not a correspondent. He's not a legal correspondent. He's not a political correspondent or anything like that, so he's not getting paid.
Well, why would you come
he's
on
being
show
interviewed.
And interview without
apparently, it's okay in this country for you to just get on television and say outrightly, because in this country, it's okay. He can walk outside of those studio doors. I don't know where, what, he's the founder of a group called Define American. He's in this country illegally. And he can walk out that studio and nobody's going to arrest him, even though we have a right to.
And all the money he's making here, he's sending back to whatever country.
He probably is. Of course he is. But he is in the United States illegally. And it's okay, especially in a place like New York, because, of course, New York is an amnesty state. Well, New York is a state of, you know, it's where they give amnesty in New York City. You know, Mayor Bloomberg says, oh, you don't want those immigrants in Arizona? Send them here to New York. We love them here. We'll take care of them.
We've got plenty of buildings for them to build.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget the fact that he was taking homeless people and shipping them out of state.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that?
Mm-mm.
Mayor Mike Bloomberg was giving money. In fact, we had Jody, who works for a homeless group, a state-run or city-run homeless group, called up the show and talked to us about that, about how they were paying for people to leave New York City if they had family members out of state. They were paying their plane tickets to get the hell out of Dodge. But yet illegal immigrants, now you can come into New York City. We got plenty of work for you.
We've got plenty of subways for you to sleep in.
Absolutely. And that's the deal.
I saw, you know, one of our offices where I had to go train people in a couple of days last Saturday. I walk out back to take a break. I walk out back, and to my surprise, there are two Latinos laying on cardboard boxes in the bushes behind the entire shopping center.
But do you know that they're...
They're sleeping. They haven't... Of course they're illegal because they're homeless. They have nowhere to go. If they were not illegal, they probably would have somewhere to go.
Well, that's pretty far-fetched.
Come on. Give me a break. Really? Really? Yeah. Okay. We live in Latin America. That's what this is going to be called. No more the United States is going to be called.
Probably
and
right.
I don't have anything against Spanish people. Yo la pañol. Me gusta el español, me gusta los hispanos, but si tú vienes aquí sin papeles, vete a su país, por favor. If you come here without no papers, go back to your country.
Is that what she said?
Yes, it is.
Wow, you're really good at that.
Have you never heard me really?
Not like that. That was pretty much. I mean, I've never.
Pretty much?
That was pretty much of like some Spanish for me. I've never. Now, you've usually, like, thrown a couple of words here and there, but that was much.
Well, I can speak, read it, and write it.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew you knew Spanish, but I didn't know you got down like that.
Oh, no, I can get down.
That was pretty impressive. But don't ever do that on the
but
show.
But you know what? You know
ahead.
What?
Yeah.
Me speaking Spanish, you would think bilingual, not only can I speak it, I can read it, and I can write it, I'd be getting paid more money for it. No, because there's all kinds of illegal Spanish people coming here. Doing the job for me.
Really? They hire them before they hire you?
No, but they can translate. They bring them in.
You don't translate?
Yeah. If you come in, if you're somewhere, even if you're in 7-Eleven and you're trying to get something from the clerk and it's a language barrier and you speak Spanish, I will translate for you because that's just who I am. But no, most of the time they'll bring their kids in. If they're coming in to see the doctor or whatever, they'll bring the kids in or they'll bring the neighbor in that speaks English and whatever.
Huh.
So
I never do that.
Those skills are not even, don't take Spanish in school, kids. Actually, you know what? You better because that's about to be our next, like, that's about to be the first language of the Latino America.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I want to play the rest of this from NBC News. This is Savannah Guthrie, who appears to be their senior legal analyst or whatever. I never ever believe I never believe that these people are the smartest people in the world. But I want you to listen to this. This is Brian Williams talking in the studio to Savannah Guthrie. Same report about the Arizona immigration law.
Here in our studios in New York, our chief legal correspondent, Savannah Guthrie. And Savannah, what survives here and where to from here?
Actually, the most controversial provision, the one that allows state officers to determine the immigration status of anyone they've lawfully stopped. And I think we're going to see more lawsuits, frankly. I mean, this is a law that has never gone into effect because of this Supreme Court litigation. Well, now it will. And that issue about whether that provision of the law leads to racial profiling will now potentially be at issue. That was not something the court decided today. But now the law will go into effect, and you can expect lawsuits from plaintiffs who say, hey, my constitutional rights were violated.
Now, if your constitutional rights were violated, how do you prove it? You're going to have to prove that your constitutional rights were violated, because the only way that your constitutional rights are going to be violated is if you're driving down the street, you have some sort of infraction, you run a red light, you make an illegal turn, an illegal U-turn, whatever it is, you get into a scuffle at a bar. The police report is going to prove, hey, the only reason why I asked you who you were is because of something that happened. How are you going to prove what's in the hearts and minds of a police officer who pulled you over? That means that if they pull you over, it's always going to be on the pretense that he was looking at you because you were Latino. So what's this going to do? This is going to muck up the criminal justice system. This is going to muck up litigation or the court system with a bunch of frivolous lawsuits to say, oh, he only stopped me because I was Latino. Which I believe personally is just going to make the police officers be a little, well, I don't want to use the word diligent. I'll just use the word careful. Now, some cops, they're going to punk out. That's what's going to happen. They're going to punk out. Now, you know, we can't stop them because they'll scream racial profiling and then they'll sue the city and they'll sue me. And there will be other cops.
Exactly what happens with the blacks.
Well,
no, I'm serious.
I love the way you phrase that.
That's exactly
what happens with the blacks.
It's exactly what happens with the black people. It happens to everyone that decides to segregate themselves. If you belong here, you do. Then you're an American. You're not black. You're not white. You're not.
You're absolutely right.
You're just an American. And
I agree with you.
If you're an illegal immigrant, you need to take your ass back home.
But my point to this, and why I brought Savannah Guthrie's point into this, is that she's absolutely wrong. She is only setting the precedent for others to do that. Now there are people who are in Arizona who have seen her reporting this and saying, oh, it's going to start civil rights litigation. No, it's only for people who are going to try it, it's going to be thrown out. What they will then do is make the state of Arizona bankrupt.
Okay, so I kind of missed what happened with the law. So can you tell me what happened with the law today? So they're saying they're leaving it up to the state?
No, this is what happened, is that the other parts of the law, the other four parts of the law, were saying that, you know, they can't actively seek out people who were illegally in the country. In other words, the state cannot pretty much protect its borders and go out there and seek people who may be illegal. Let's say do a sting operation.
Okay, so they're shutting down border control?
No. Well, not in a sense. No. You could stop people at the border because that's federal government. The federal border agents can stop somebody at the border. But let's say somebody gets through. The police department can only do what it does in a legal stop and seizure, whatever it might be. You're in a fight, some police action. That's the whole word is police action. Whatever it is that may...
You're selling cocaine.
Yeah, right. You're caught selling drugs. Whatever the police action is, when they ask for your identification and you cannot provide it, that you are a citizen, then they can inform, hold you, detain you, inform ICE, and have you deported. That part of the law is upheld. but no investigations into, hey, I believe this house has 12 people living in it. I'm not trying to stereotype here, but let's say the house has 12 people living in it. We believe that these people may be illegals. We can't.
People are living in this house like sardines in a freaking can, because that's
right.
What happens.
And we can't.
So, and you
but
all,
we can't.
No, you always use the N-word. You do all that. So we
no, we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that one. Not going to say it.
We're not going to say the S-word?
No, not going to say it.
How come?
Because
you can use the N-word,
but
you can't use the S-word?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the S-word has never been used as a term of endearment. That's the reason why I use the N-word. Because African-Americans try to suggest that the N-word is a term of endearment.
Okay.
Spanish people have never suggested that.
They still suggest that they live like sardines in a can.
That they do. But in other words, if a police officer would see that driving down the street and saying, you know, like neighbors complaining, look,
like
I don't think
these
people.
There's a Pinto rolling down the street with 25 people.
Exactly, and they're not allowed to pursue that as a case of illegal immigration. You know what I'm saying? If they see something that looks illegal as far as immigration is concerned, they're not allowed to act on that because that would be considered racial profiling. There's nothing in the law that protects the police department and says that they can do that. But if you stop them in the middle of a police action and you find out that they're illegal, then that part of the law is upheld.
Do you know what happens to you when you work for the federal government?
Please. I do not know. What do you mean?
Do you know the process that you have to go through?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Scrutiny
do you know
is
the process?
Immeasurable.
Wait a minute. Do you know the process that you have to continue to go through every 5 years?
Absolutely. It's
almost worse than a child sex offender.
Listen to me. I understand this. I made this argument in 2008. When I was at WRKO, and I said that the vetting process of Barack Obama, who was then candidate Obama, I said the process that I had to go through to get a federal job was more than the press was doing as far as vetting
but
the president.
But federal employees have to go through more scrutiny than illegal aliens.
Absolutely. And again, the same point I made.
And if you get your papers, there should be people to check up on you every 5 years and make sure that you're not trying to house other illegal
Mary,
people.
I made the
you're,
same
I mean,
point.
It just doesn't make any sense. As an American, you can't have shit here. But if you come here as an illegal, you can
have
whatever
everything.
You want.
Everything.
You can open up your own damn series
everything.
Of banks. You got
Coyola
Brasas on every corner.
Everything.
You got pupuserias. You got taco trucks. You got women. If you live in a Spanish neighborhood in an apartment building, you got women coming around with pots, carrying big pots on their heads of tamales, knocking on your door, don't even know you, don't care. Ding, 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 ding. ¿Quieres tamales? Tamales, $1. Tamales, $1. $1.
Let's get Mike in here. Mike. You sent me something via Twitter. What was the breakdown of this, if we can, in the next 3 minutes?
I don't know who the reporter was that said that being in the country illegally doesn't violate any law. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, he says being in a country is not it, right, doesn't violate. And I think it was either Mike Taibbi or another reporter from
he's
NBC.
He's an idiot. He violates Section 1325 in Title 8 of the U.S. Code titled Improper Entry of Alien, which provides for a fine, imprisonment, or both for an immigrant who enters or attempts to enter the U.S. at any time or place other than as designated by immigration agents, eludes examination or inspection by agents, or attempts to enter or obtains entry to the U.S. by willfully false or misleading representation or the willful concealment of a material fact. And there's prison time that's possible for this.
But they're saying that that law can only be upheld by the federal government, not by the state. And that's, in essence, what this law did. This law is, in essence, saying the state can only do but so much, but leave the federal government to do what it is that it's supposed
There's
to do.
There's not enough federales out there to have that under control.
But they made it even worse today because Janet Napolitano and this administration, the Obama administration, pretty much told them today, this is exactly what they told them, we don't care how many illegals you detain. Don't call us.
We're
not enforcing the law. We don't even call ICE. We either will just accept your call and take it as a record, but don't expect us to do anything. You're stuck with them. And we're going to do nothing to enforce the federal law.
People are going to start killing us.
Look, it's going to be mayhem, I promise you. It's going to be mayhem. It is.
People in the Midwest.
They're going to have to arm themselves. This
them
is the reason.
Damn,
hey, Mike, you said
rednecks, it. Them damn rednecks are going to be out there and hunting.
Hey, in Arizona,
like,
they're not rednecks.
Get us a hot chili pepper.
But
well,
you know what? Mike,
tell me,
you said
dude, they're rednecks in Arizona. Trust me.
But, Mike, you said it best. We're coming to a point where more, and you even saw the numbers in your own state, that the numbers of people who are arming themselves today have grown higher and higher
you,
and higher.
Yesterday, listen, I shit you not.
Stop
yesterday,
with the,
I
let you
all
do
right,
it once.
Sorry. All right, I shoot you not. Ha ha. Check this out. Yesterday, I go to 7-Eleven, right around the corner from my house, go to 7-Eleven to get something. I see this big white pickup truck, like a Ford F-250 or something, pull up. And out comes this dude dressed in a cowboy hat, some Lee jeans,
right.
Some cowboy boots.
Are you certain they were Lee jeans?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I know how they fit on a man's butt. They look disgusting.
Okay, go move on.
Okay, some Lee jeans, some cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, and a cowboyish long sleeve white button down shirt with a collar. With a gun strap around his arms, a pistol underneath each arm, left and right.
Really?
Ready.
Damn.
I, walking into 7-Eleven. You coming to 7? Oh, can I get a Slurpee?
He looked like did he look like Walker Texas Ranger?
Yeah.
And you live in D.C.
No, I live about 15 minutes outside of D.C.
Which state?
In Virginia.
Virginia might have open carry. That guy might be legal.
Yeah, you can. You can open carry. Actually, you have to openly carry unless you have a concealed permit. Unless you have a concealed weapons permit, you can
openly
carry.
Well, I'll tell you what. Nobody's going to mess with that cowboy.
They sure ain't. They're going to let him get his Slurpee and keep moving.
We'll come back at the top of the hour at Tweets on the Radio. Stick around.
I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could.
Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back, top of the hour, 3 minutes after the hour on this June the 25th, 2012. I'm hoping, of course, that I'm not going to be losing JC. I'm sorry, he's having some technical difficulties. Edward, of course, in Connecticut, as many of you know, he wrote something great on Twitter. Edward said, some Latinos use the N-word more often than Negroes. And yes, you're absolutely right. Edward, you may remember a while back when I was with the Star and Book Wild show, I'm almost certain it was at Hot 97 when we were there, we had a huge controversy with Jennifer Lopez and her use of the N-word in the song I'm Real with Ja Rule, where she sings that line, well, she's talking about P. Diddy in the song. And the song's called I'm Real, and it's a
remix.
And
what did she say? That's
she
my
says,
nigga.
No, she says... She says, people ask me what's the deal with you and so-and-so, talking about P. Diddy. He said, I tell them niggas my name biz, but they don't hear me, though. Now, it was a line written by Irv Gotti, and Star, of course, on the show, had an issue with Latino, who's primarily on a record label, and her music is promoted towards young, mainstream
kids. Her booty
makes
her black, though.
But No. But her music is pushed towards mainstream America. I mean, if she was really, really sort of down... you'd expect at that particular time for her to be on 106 in Park, but she was doing shows on the Today Show. She's doing performances on the Today Show, and you look out to her audience, and her mass audience were young white girls.
Well, she made more money off of them.
Of course. So then, is it socially acceptable for her to be using the N-word?
You know what? It should be socially acceptable for everybody to use the damn N-word. Everybody uses it anyway.
But I understand. No, just because everybody does doesn't make it socially acceptable.
I mean, you, in the context in which you use it.
I understand that. But Edward, I'm sure Edward remembers that particular time. We had a big on-air debate with Fat Joe about it. Because Fat Joe often uses the word too. Of course, his argument is, you know, I'm from the Bronx. I've been around black people all my life. People consider me black, but, you know.
So what? People
just
tell me I'm black all the time, but that don't mean I can run around saying nigga.
All right. Thank you, Mary. God. That's all I wanted to bring up.
I said it one time in front of the wrong person and almost got myself killed. Actually, almost got myself fired.
Did you?
Yeah, I said it. One of my...
The context of which she said.
Well, I said it was myself, and I was the manager of this financial lending place.
Right.
Myself, two African American employees, and one Caucasian employee. And the Caucasian employee used it all the time.
She, really?
And her man was black, and these two African American employees knew that her man was black, knew she had half black and half white kids, so she used it all the time. So I turned around and it was really stupid on my part anyway. I was young. It was stupid. Because as the manager, I should have known better.
Of course.
So we were talking about something about work, and I was like, yeah, and so-and-so came in here and thought, and I was like, oh, hell no, nigga, you ain't getting no loan up in here.
Wow.
So when I said that,
everybody's heard what I said.
Well, okay, the guy knew, the girl, she was cool. She was like, she knew that I didn't mean it in no derogatory term. She knew that. Both the African-American girl and the Caucasian girl. But the guy knew that I had come there to clean house anyway, and people were going to get fired. So he knew that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He knew.
So you had a preemptive strike.
Yes. So he went to HR, and I had to go. So HR, of course, had to do an investigation. I called my boss before he even got to HR because I knew after I said it was a problem.
Right.
So it was a problem because he didn't want to lose his job. That was the problem.
Right. And you knew that you had kind of muddied the waters.
Yeah, I was like, damn, why did I say that? I'm like, damn. So I call my boss. Then we get on the phone with HR. I write a letter. You know, it's shown that, you know, that my boyfriend as well is black. You know,
right.
I don't have any kids, but if I had kids, they would be half black and half white.
Well, yeah, that's a great point,
duh.
By the way.
So anyway, they ended up suspending me. They had to, and I was okay
with
that.
How long were you suspended?
I was suspended for a week, and I was okay. And when I went back, I fired his ass.
Did you?
I sure did.
Well, you were already going to fire
him? I fired him for stealing money.
Oh, really? He was already supposed to be fired for that?
No, him and the white girl
Thank you.
Were in cahoots, and they were stealing money.
Oh. But you already knew that
before this
whole incident took place?
Yes. And I knew that the two of them were going to be gone. I knew I was keeping the one girl. And she went on to become a manager, which was great, right?
Right.
She was the
sure.
one apple that I could save out of the rotten bunch.
Right.
So I went back to work, and about 3 or 4 days later, he was fired. I fired him. I was like, I'm sorry, you're fired. Goodbye.
Nigga.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
We're getting rid of this one, and we're keeping this one.
I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there.
You and your crackatastic white girlfriend over here can get up out of here.
Let's get Edward in on this. Edward.
Hey, Reese, how's it going?
How are you? Great tweets, by the way. Do you remember that time with the whole Jennifer Lopez thing? By the way, I was actually on... I don't know if you remember the TV show Extra.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I was featured on the TV show Extra protesting Jennifer Lopez at the Today Show behind that.
Wow. Why was you protesting J-Lo?
Well, go ahead. Let Edward speak. I'll tell you that later.
Yeah, I definitely remember that whole controversy back, you know, during the Hot 97 days.
Right.
But, you know, the thing I think about it is that, you know, Negroes use the N-word so much. You know, I think everybody should be able to use it these days. You know, you can't pick and choose. If you're going to call somebody, you know, what's up my N-word, you know, expect someone else to use it, you know.
Well, right, you're opening the floodgates in a lot of in essence, you are opening up the floodgates. I agree with you there.
I mean, I don't mind if people call me a cracker. I call myself a cracker all the time.
You've always mentioned
I don't care about that. I mean, those things are so stupid to me. I don't care. You can call me a cracker. You can call me Shay Whitey. You can call me whatever. I don't care. It don't bother me. I am crackertastic.
So, you know, hey, Edward, I do have to ask you another question real quick.
Sure.
Okay. Real quick, and I'm probably going to put you on the spot.
Who's that cute little puppy on your Twitter account?
Oh, that's my dog.
He is adorable.
Yeah, but you don't like pit bulls. He's half pit bull.
Is he?
Yep.
He looks like a retriever.
He's half yellow lab and half pit bull.
That would make sense.
Wow, that's a what's his temperament? I bet you that's a.
Is that a little weird? Is he temperamental? Is he schizophrenic or?
No, he's pretty much got the yellow lab personality.
Kind of docile, body, for lack of a better word.
But the body of a pit bull.
Oh, okay.
So when I walk him, Negroes are running across the street.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, let me. I want to.
Do you live in a Negro filled neighborhood, Edward?
Oh, hell no.
Of course, he listened to the manner in which he speaks. Okay, I promise.
I used to. The thing is, I own a rent. I own.
Go ahead, Edward.
I own a rental property. And when I go out there to make sure everything's okay, that is in a majority Negro neighborhood. And, you know, I'd usually take them for a walk out there, and these Negroes run left. You know, when they see them coming to the block, they will run across the street.
I said what? Because of the manner of that he speaks?
Yeah, because just because you speak.
No,
like
I was actually talking about his personality, all right? Don't worry about it.
And I'm talking about that, too. So what? I got a good personality. I'm a pretty well-educated person and yada, yada, yada. I used to live in an all-Negro neighborhood. I was the only whitey in the whole neighborhood. It didn't bother me.
Yes, I know. But we know you didn't live in an all-white neighborhood. We know who you lived around.
I lived
around Puerto Rico. A 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 Puerto Rico.
Reese.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
And I was, excuse me, I have transcripts to prove it.
Okay, no problem. I wasn't suggesting that. You wouldn't want to learn Spanish.
I speak Spanish because I took it in school, not because of any outside
sources.
Why
are you so defensive that you would ever be hanging around with, you know?
A Puerto Rico. A Puerto Rico. A Puerto Rico.
Chando.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway. I wanted to get onto this thing. You guys, Edward, I'll put you on hold again. Pardon me. Hold on for a second. All right. I wanted to get into the more important news, which I thought was way more relevant today. And JC's going to have to get in on this one because he knows what this is about.
Where's the runway? I got one thing to say. That's Jay Shante.
Yes, the homosexuals have gone crazy, nuts, and awful. Here's how. We're going to talk about this for a little bit, and then we'll get into it in the next part because I got so much material on this. The homosexuals have gone crazy. They have lost their ever-loving minds because of a group called Geo Proud. If you've never heard of them, let me tell you who they are. They are gay Republicans. Yes. Fiscal responsibility, baby. Yes, they are gay Republicans. And they have thrown their support around one Mitt Romney. Oh, and the libs have gone ape behind it.
And they have been chastised.
That's right. They are being chastised for their support of Mitt Romney. Now, let me show you, folks, my proof that gays in this country are only supposed to act a certain way.
Just like blacks are only supposed to act a certain way.
And just like?
Just like Latinos are only supposed to act a certain
way.
That's
right.
Whites are only supposed to act a certain way.
That's right. They're only supposed to act a certain way. When I heard this audio, now I'm going to give you a little background here. When I heard this audio, I wasn't shocked, but I just couldn't believe that somebody would actually have the nads to say it. This is our favorite female, Joy Behar from The View. And Joy Behar is talking about Geo Proud and their support of Mitt Romney. I cannot believe that this audio is not ready. Come on now. I did so much hard work to make sure this was ready. Now I have to, now I have to reboot it. But let me give you a little bit of background. Because when I found this particular audio, the reason why I was really appalled was because the man talking in this audio is a part of a group that contacted me to spend money with their organization. It's a group called Reputation.com. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of this organization. And Reputation,
I'm sure many of you have not.
I'm sure many of you have, but if you haven't, is what I was going to say. If you haven't heard of Reputation.com, the idea is, you know, cases like mine, you know, my court case, you know, they want to come in and they want to help you out. You know, look, we know you've had some hits in the press. You know, we would like to make sure that people, you know the right things about you and the truth about you and not this stuff that, you know, people out there trying to portray about your, you know, your character. You know, they come to you and I'll admit the stuff that they're doing is, you know, supposed to be a good thing. The money that they're asking for, oh, Lordy.
Well, it better be a good thing for the money that they're asking for.
What's that?
I said it better be a good thing for the money they're asking for.
Well, they're asking for as little as $10,000.
As little as.
Yeah, that's their low-tier sort of operation to help out people who have had some reputation hits. And, you know, they go out there and, you know, they tell people, hey, this is how we can fix your life, you know. So I know who Joy Behar is, and I was really considering working with this group. Until I heard this. JC, what do you want to say before I play the audio? Okay, he didn't want to say anything. Then I heard this audio, and this is on Joy Behar's show on Current TV, and one of the vice chairs of Reputation.com got into this dialogue.
J-Boat, I don't think he's going to get it anyway.
No, I don't. Unless the Suns do a spread in GQ shirtless, and then I think it'll be fine.
Could it be that the Go Proud guys are just attracted to Mitt Romney's sons, Matt Mutt, Tag, Tic Tac, and Nashville? Do you think that's the issue?
I would love a magic underwear photo shoot. I think we could.
What is that anyway? Haven't they seen the Book of Mormon? They call themselves gay, and they haven't been to the Book of Mormon?
So this is this guy, Michael Bragman.
This gay guy.
No.
He's clearly gay.
Well, I don't know whether or not he's gay, but that's not the point.
You're gay.
They're part of Reputation.com. They're talking with Joy Behar. And Joy Behar is saying that the reason why that Geo Proud is supporting Mitt Romney is because they're attracted to their sons. In essence, they think with their penises. They don't think about anything practical. They're not pragmatic. Homosexuals thinking with their penises. An allegation that would be frowned upon if you said it about any other gay person. And here is a liberal who's saying that a homosexual who is a Republican only thinks with their penis. It gets...
No, but wait. She's saying, basically what Joy is saying is that how could you be gay and want to like Mitt Romney? Oh, so you want to vote for the Republican because you want to screw his son?
Yeah,
that's what she said.
That's what I just said. That's exactly what I just said.
I didn't hear.
That's okay. That's the bottom line. But it gets worse. Go ahead.
I was going to say, play that clip again.
Oh, you want me to play it again?
Yeah, please.
Oh, no problem. I will play it again.
Pay attention. We're going to ask questions later, all right?
Hold on. I'll play it again. Which, for some odd reason, always takes forever to reload because of this. Oh, here's the service. Oh, I got to go through a commercial.
Does your phone give you all day
battery? I'm sorry. I have to go through a commercial before it plays. which is annoying as hell.
Lo siento mucho. Espérate un momento, por favor. Gracias.
This is why I usually like to upload audio, but I can't do it for some odd reason because the service that we use has been down for weeks because they've got other financial issues. But that's okay. The audio is going to come up now. Here it is,
no,
JC.
Because they're working on Latino.
Here it is.
Program.
I don't think he's
going to
get it anyway.
I don't. Mm-hmm. Unless the Suns do a spread in GQ shirtless, and then I think it'll be fine.
Could it be that the Go Proud guys are just attracted to Matt's son, Mitt Romney's sons, Matt Mutt, Tag, Tic Tac, and Basketball? Do you think that's the issue?
I'll go back and play it again.
Romney will ever get the gay vote. I don't think he's going to get it anyway.
No. I don't, unless the Suns do a spread in GQ shirtless, and then I think it'll be fine.
Could it be that the Go Proud guys are just attracted to Matt's son, Mitt Romney's sons, Matt Mutt, Tag, Tic Tac, and Basketball? Do you think that's the issue?
I would love a magic underwear photo shoot. I think we could.
What is that anyway? Haven't they seen the Book of Mormon? They call themselves gay, and they haven't been to the Book of Mormon?
Why is she talking about the GO crowd like they haven't been to the Book of Mormon?
And she's talking about a Broadway play. That's what she's talking about. They haven't seen the Book of Mormon, a Broadway play. As if that's where gay
and
people get their information.
Why doesn't she know that we're talking about Mitt Romney and not Matt Romney?
Well, she doesn't even know his name.
And
that's
then
one.
Why does she not even know his kid's name?
No, she was actually poking fun at them.
Yes.
You notice once she calls Bashful like they did at the Seven Dwarfs, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that's all she can do. That's who she is. She claims to be a comedian because that's going to be argument. Oh, I'm a comedian. But she's saying that, gay people voting for a Republican is completely unheard of. A lot of people don't know this. And she stated this on The View, but a lot of people paid no attention to it. When she was on The View, she made this claim when she found out that Elton John sang at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. She called Elton John a turncoat. You sang at Rush Limbaugh's wedding? Like, what are you, crazy? And to suggest that Elton John doesn't have a right to support whomever he wants as a gay person or whatever.
Or you can even be friends with them. It doesn't mean you support their
political or believe view. Right, or agree with what they believe in. But Joy doesn't believe that. If you don't believe with people politically, you don't agree with them at all, and they are your enemies.
Unbelievable.
JC, was there something that you want to mention about the audio?
JC?
I don't know if I lost him. He might be there. JC, was there something you wanted to mention about the audio?
I'm actually just taking it in. I'm waiting for part two. Isn't there a part two to this?
No, the part two. I apologize because I did want to get into part two. Yes, the second part is Michael Musto, Village Voice. Michael Musto of the Village Voice. He writes, gay Republicans are like Jewish Nazis. This is a portion of his blog. It says, Michael Musto, the Village Voice, longtime nightlife columnist, wrote on his blog today that the gay Republican group GO Proud are like Jewish Nazis or a Black Klan member because of their endorsement of Mitt Romney. He writes, quote, "So here's you and your bizarre contradictions, GO Proud. You're like Jewish Nazis, Black Klansmen, women who campaigned for Rush Limbaugh, Mexican Republicans, roaches who moonlight as exterminators. Black, go away." And a response by GO Proud went simply, I have no doubt as to the effectiveness of my argument, Musto tweeted a few minutes ago. GeoProd's leader, Jimmy LaSalvia and Chris Barron, did not immediately return a request for comments, but he did respond finally by saying, "Have you seen Michael Musto lately? We aren't going to take serious political advice from a human Muppet. Musto should stick to writing gossip pieces about Lindsay Lohan and leave politics to the professionals." But Michael Musto is a well-known homosexual in the New York community. And everyone brings him on to talk about, he's everyone's gay sort of correspondent. And again, so blacks cannot be Republicans. Mexicans can't be Republicans. Because this is exactly what it is that they're used to.
Cockroaches can't be Republicans.
It doesn't matter. You can't be anything. You can't be who it is that you want. There is no free will, you know, which they always claim that they claim that they're asking for, right? They want gays to have free will, but not the free will to be Republicans. As if to say that that goes against what liberal homosexuals stand for.
Well, that's just like they wouldn't let that, what's her name, come out and say that, you know, she chose to be gay.
Oh, the woman, that's right, the woman who said that she chose to be, Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah.
When she came out and said that she chose to be gay. Yeah. Right. And they told her that that was irresponsible.
And Cynthia, I like you and all, but you could have done better, Bill.
Yeah, she could have, but she likes a manly-looking girl.
I mean, but no, she could have got a manly, handsome-looking.
Well,
that was manly,
maybe she,
not attractive.
Maybe she's attractive to her. Maybe that's the kind of look she likes.
I don't think she's attractive whatsoever.
That's the kind of look she's going for. She likes the
She likes the look of someone that will never cheat on her.
Okay.
It's a man, baby.
Yeah, it's a, maybe she likes the fat ginger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe so. But can you believe that Geo Proud has decided that they're going to make a choice on fiscal responsibility? And that was the reason why they made the choice. They said, we don't care that Mitt Romney does not support gay marriage. We care about fiscal responsibility, and that's why we're supporting him.
Because how dare you put the good of the country above your own personal desires? I mean, what kind of assholes are they, right? Pardon my language.
No, that's okay. I'll accept that one. Okay, there's another word that you can use.
But, you know, Michael Musso is so unqualified to speak about politics, they should call him Tour-gay. Okay? He's as qualified to speak about politics as Touré.
Right, I was about to say. So he's the gay white version of Touré.
He's Tour-gay.
Did you hear he got his own MSNBC show?
Touré?
Yes.
God, he's horrible. And, you know, the thing that bugs me the most about Touré, just to get off the subject a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Touré, Mr. I'm super black person, you know, black,
yes,
militant, all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, he's not married to a black woman.
And I know.
Whoa. No. Pump the brakes, asshole.
Is
he married to a cracker?
No,
he's married to like a Lebanese woman or something.
Yes, right. Because I do believe she's Middle Eastern.
Oh, you know,
yeah,
they can.
You know, he couldn't even find himself a real sister.
Absolutely not. Could not.
See,
I guarantee
you, I have dated more black women than Touré has, and I've only dated two.
Hey. You know what?
Getting down with the flavor, ain't you, Mike?
Oh, God.
Well, they were kind of cafe au lait, but I guess they count.
So they were black women kind of with a white woman twist.
No.
Yeah, they were cafe au lait. I mean, they weren't dark enough where they got out the car, the oil light came on or anything.
Say that again, you racist bastard.
That's not racist, that's funny.
They weren't dark.
They weren't dark enough to set off the oil light when they exit the car.
Oh, damn. Damn. I hope you don't want to date another black woman.
Okay, all right, guys. All right, I'm going to take a break when we come back. Guys, I don't know whether or not you guys heard this. I'm almost certain. Well, I can't say that you guys haven't heard this. I'm certain JC hasn't heard this. I'm certain Mary hasn't heard this. Edward and Mike may have heard this. But do you know that NBC is now responsible for another deceptive edit on their airwaves?
Yes. Yes.
You did hear about
it.
All
right. And hold on.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Edward, are you there?
Yeah, I did hear about it. Yep.
Edward, I'm going to need you to stop talking so damn much.
JC, have you heard about the deceptive edit?
I'm still flipping about Joy Behar.
Oh, JC, I told you to pay attention. We won't ask questions later. You're not keeping up, boo.
Well, wait. Listen, we're going to take a break. This deceptive edit is so bad. I need to get you guys' opinion on it. Not that I think it's going to matter much, but look, if it comes down to this network being legitimate anymore, I think it's completely over. And if this makes news, if this really makes news, and the way that it should, it's going to be some trouble for NBC News. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we got to talk about it. I'm going to, you know, I can't play the audio because it's too damn long. It's like freaking 20 minutes. But I will break down the story for you. I can't believe that in this day and age, NBC is literally getting caught out there in a fashion that is getting caught out
there. Well, that they're going to the lengths that they're going. And
come on. I can understand where you edit things that serve your party or your ideology. But when you can cost
but you're the news. You're not supposed to do that.
I know that.
But I'll say you can understand that.
No, I can understand it because I know who they are.
Okay.
We'll take a break. I want to hear that from you when we get back. Freezer Radio, stick around.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights, on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back.
Hey, next Monday, 9:36.
Give us a date, damn it.
June 25th, 2012.
I'm going to get you to start doing that. See if you can actually, you know, open
And we're back, Reese on the Radio, 36 minutes after the hour, here on this Manic Monday, June 25th, 2012.
You're going to have to make it a little more natural, but you're almost there. That's how you open the break.
I was making fun of you.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you really? That's how you open
I'm
the break?
I'm just telling
you. I thought that's how you went to break.
That's how you open the break.
Yeah, okay, moron. I know that. I hear you do it every night. Did you have to point that out?
Well, I didn't know that you understood the terminology.
Really?
I'm just telling you what it's called. So what? You sit here. You
okay, guys.
No. Don't bring the guys into this.
Because, do you think that people are stupid?
It wasn't about you being stupid. I was just telling you what it was called.
Really?
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
I don't know that terminology?
Broads are so sensitive.
No, it's not that broads are sensitive. Like, I can't believe that you
All
think
right.
about broads. This is about me.
Whatever. All right, can I get back into the thing? Talk about Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, we'll revisit this later.
Yeah, anyway. All right, so everybody knows Jerry Sandusky.
Well, hold on. I think we got to give her some homework.
What's that?
Well, we're going to give her some homework.
Yeah, we'll give her some homework. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, go ahead, JC. Kick me a little bit of knowledge, my man. What's today's mathematics?
Oh, all right. Never mind. Anyway.
No, real quickly. For her to know tomorrow, what does donut add?
A donut ass?
Yep.
Okay.
All
right, so that's our homework. Fine. Anyway, all right, so Jerry Sandusky, 45 of 48 counts, found guilty of child molestation.
I'm not bringing no Krispy Kreme.
Anyway, so I'm pretty sure you guys heard. Did you hear what the prisoners were singing when he entered jail?
What were they singing?
Pink Floyd's The Wall. We don't need no education. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. They were singing that when he walked in, which is pretty foul. But, okay, so 45 counts out of 48, all right? He is defiant in jail, according to reports. His lawyer visited him, I guess, a day ago, and he said, you know, I did not do this. Under no circumstance I didn't. But now I hear that there's an appeal.
Of course there is.
But who is going to be the force of that appeal, other than NBC News? Because NBC News edited the interview that Jerry Sandusky did with Bob Costas
last year.
Yeah, I know that. Doesn't everybody know that?
No one knew that they were actually subpoenaed for that audio today. And now the prosecutors are completely red-faced because now they're admitting that the audio that they did use at trial was the Today Show version of the interview, which was the edited tape.
So now there's an appeal.
Grounds for appeal.
Wow.
And this is, again, NBC News at the front lines. And again, if this appeal is...
In the first trial, they subpoenaed the tape.
Mm-mm. They used the tape. They didn't subpoena
it. Who used the tape?
The prosecutors against Jerry Sandusky.
Okay.
They took the... Now, there were three versions that they could have used. There was, of course, the interview itself that Bob Costas had himself. Then there's Rock Center, where it aired. And then it re-aired the next day on the Today Show, where it was edited. Now, the prosecutors had a choice of just going to NBC and say, look, can we just get the interview that you did in its entirety? They didn't do that. They dragged their feet lazily and just grabbed the Today Show clip. They could have grabbed it anywhere, online, somebody recorded, whatever. But that's the tape that they used at trial, the Today Show version. And the Today Show version has an edited.
The not-so-true version.
Yeah, the one that's edited. And NBC, now, all the prosecutors, all the defense team has to do is just file the appeal based upon that edited tape. And now everybody knows this was so widely covered by the country, everyone's going to say NBC's tape of the Jerry Sandusky interview that aired on the Today Show was edited. And then that's going to prompt everybody else to just say NBC has gone through this before with George Zimmerman, with Mitt Romney, with, you know, and this is an audio tape. I mean, this is a video that I found today where NBC's first charge of editing a tape happened on their MSNBC show. And yes, Torre is there as well. And watch this tape, because this is the amazing part about this tape.
Watch
Here's
it or listen.
The watch it and listen to it, because you can see it right here. Look at what happened.
Yesterday, as President Obama addressed the Veterans Reform Ward in Phoenix, a man at a pro-healthcare reform rally just outside wore a semi-automatic assault rifle on his shoulder and a pistol on his hip. The Associated Press reports about a dozen people in all at that event were visible carrying firearms. And the reason we're talking about this, a lot of talk here, Dylan, because people feel like, yes, there are Second Amendment rights for sure, but also there are questions about whether this has a racial overtones. I mean, here you have a man of color in the presidency and white people showing up with guns strapped right to their waist.
Now, she says in the video, at the beginning of the video, she says, whether or not there are charges of racism, because there's a black president in the White House and there are white men standing at this rally with guns strapped to their waist. The picture, if you notice, you can't see.
A man at a pro-healthcare reform rally just outside wore a semi-automatic assault rifle on his shoulder and a pistol on his hip. The Associated Press reports about a dozen people in all at that event were visible carrying firearms. And the reason we're talking about this, a lot of talk here, Dylan, because people feel like, yes, there are Second Amendment rights for sure, but also there are questions about whether this has a racial overtones. I mean, here you have a man of color in the presidency and white people showing up with guns strapped right to their waist.
Wasn't that dude black?
Yes, he was. He was black. But if you look at that edited video...
You can
video,
see his arm. No, that's how I knew he was black. I seen his arm.
Right, but she said...
The same dude that she says is out there holding an assault rifle that they put a picture of. She's like, they're out there holding an assault rifle. And yes, there was a lot of white people there too, but this dude was black. The one with the assault rifle and the other pistol was black.
But again... Totally, that would totally negate the whole charge that people were there under some sort of racial pretense because there's a black guy out there with a gun, too.
Yeah, she never mentions
it. And when I saw that, I was like...
And actually tries to make it as if that guy is white, like other people that are watching it. If you only hear it, you think he's white. If you see it, you know he's black.
Exactly. So, gentlemen, the Jerry Sandusky case. Do you think this is going to bring more attention to NBC News in their editing practices?
It may.
If not, it should.
You got to realize it. NBC has been doing this for years and years and years. If I don't know if you remember back General Motors at one point on NBC.
Yeah, they
rigged a car to explode. And this
was
back in the 90s.
That's right. Dateline NBC did a report on General Motors where they said that this particular truck, that if you hit it from the side, that the gas tank would explode. And what they didn't tell anyone is that they rigged an explosive on the car when they showed the video of the demonstration. And they were busted. This is Dateline NBC. This is back in the 90s. You're absolutely right.
Stone Phillips, I remember.
Stone Phillips, that's
absolutely
right.
I like Stone.
So did I. I was a big fan of his.
I watched NBC. Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, Edward, you're absolutely right. Now, do you know any others? Because I remember that General Motors thing. Of course, as we know recently with the, you know, making George Zimmerman appear to be racist by editing out the question of whether or not he's black, white, or Hispanic. You know, now we have the Mitt Romney thing where they suggest that he's never been to a Wawa.
Exactly, yeah.
And is Wawa a black thing?
No, but he was talking about Wawa in making a greater point about the private sector versus the government sector. But Andrea Mitchell on her show suggested she edited, or the producers edited the tape to make him talk about Wawa as if this would suggest, Wawa, you got a little button, you can push the kiosk, and you ask for this, and you go up to the counter, and you pay for it. It's amazing. As if to suggest he had never, ever done it before. But,
exactly.
Yeah, he did it before. He was making a broader point that, you know, private industry, they compete, you know, for your money.
Yeah.
But they were making it sound like he had never been in a Wawa before. And then the next day, only thing she did was say, here's all of what it is that Mitt Romney had to say. No admission of guilt, no admission of editing the story, no admission that, you know, they were falsely trying to make him look like a moron. You know, they just did this. But now, in a case like Jerry Sandusky, 45 counts of child molestation, and now the appeal sits on the heads of the NBC producers.
And then are they going to have all those people come back to court and testify again?
Everybody.
They're going to make everybody relive.
Everybody.
It again.
And don't remember.
Even the public. And who's paying for this shit? Oh, sorry. Who's paying for this assholeness?
I find it hard to believe that anybody puts any faith in NBC at all. I mean, I gave up on MSNBC when I realized that the NBC that was cheerleading every war that comes down the pike is owned by the nation's largest defense contractor.
That's right.
Owned by the largest what?
Defense contractor.
Who is that?
Yeah, they're
General
owned
Electric.
By the largest General Electric. Yeah, GE makes billions off of military contracts.
Absolutely.
So
I remember.
I don't know if you remember this,
Mike.
They have no credibility.
Mike, I don't know whether or not you remember this, but there was an award show. Now, you're probably going to have to correct me on this one, but I'm almost certain of it. There was an award show where a woman comes up on a podium, and you know you always get somebody who gets up there and receives an award, and then they have to make this political speech. But the woman gets up on there. I don't remember what year it was, but it's going to come to me, and I might even find it, where the woman makes this claim about General Electric, and she says, she starts talking about General Electric being a war profiteer, and saying that she wants to bring attention to the stark contrast of General Electric's moniker that we bring good things to life. Remember when GE used to have that? GE, we bring good things to life? She makes this comment where she says, you know, she wanted to make sure that people knew that GE is not the corporation that they say they are when they, you know, in defense contracting. Yeah, exactly. They claim that they bring good things to life. I'll never forget when I saw that, I said, really, GE's in defense contracting? And that's when I found out about them. I was like, yeah, they actually do. They make a crap load of money.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they make all kinds of things. They make jet engines, and they're just they're a huge defense contractor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they don't pay taxes, apparently.
No, of course not.
Second in line.
Lockheed Martin?
Yeah.
Lockheed Martin is actually the number one.
They're all of them. That's all of them.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin is the largest. Is the largest defense contractor. But, okay, now.
Well, I stand corrected.
We don't agree in any way whatsoever that Jerry Sandusky is going, if he does get a new trial, which he can, because he will get this appeal. Because if it was edited and any evidence is tampered with, yes, that's grounds for a new trial. I don't believe that he is in any way whatsoever going to have his conviction overturned.
No, I don't think so.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, but if it's not going to be overturned, well, like, who's paying for the, who's going to pay for this retrial? The people?
Of course, they have
to.
The government. The government has to. Now, if he loses, of course, the charges of that trial will then go to him.
But he's in jail.
Doesn't matter.
He ain't making but like $5 an hour.
It doesn't matter. He will still have to pay for it.
Wash and silverware.
He's going to have to pay for it.
If
the people win the case, then the defendant has to pay for the trial cost. And I think that's the way it should be. Of course it should be. But if the people lose, they should, of course, be, you know, it should be their cause. I mean, should be on them.
But if he loses, and then he has to pay for it, who's going to pay for that? He can't pay for that. He's in jail.
Well, it still has to be. Well, I don't know. He'll make up the time. He's going to get 400 years in jail.
Okay, he's going to get 400 years in jail. He'll die.
Spend the rest of his life in jail, and there will be civil suits.
He'll probably die in 15 years.
Trust me,
if that long. Wait a minute, you're not listening. How is it going to be paid? How is he going to pay us back the money?
How much do you think it's going to cost?
How much do you think it's going to cost? I don't know how much an average court case costs.
Probably a little over $500,000.
Okay, so you think that while he's in prison, he's going to make $500,000 and
he's going
to pay us back?
They'll find a way.
I just want to know what jail he's in that had enough white people locked up that they actually knew the lyrics to a Pink Floyd song.
Wow. Good point.
Oh, you are absolutely, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I am stunned that they knew that.
I'm going to get a bell, and every time, I'm going to get a bell, and every time somebody says something quirky, I'm going to ring that bell.
That'd actually be cute. So, but nonetheless, NBC is going to get a lot of attention for this, especially if it's deal, and they'll finally have their feet put to the fire. I don't know whether or not it's going to cost people their jobs, but it'll definitely destroy the credibility of NBC News. And most people are calling for the ousting of this NBC News head now because it's just gotten completely ridiculous over there.
Yeah, that guy is pretty damn incompetent. He's either incompetent or he's evil.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about a bit of both?
Well, you know what I always say? You know what I think NBC stands for? It stands for Now Barack's Channel. That's what I believe.
Hey, maybe Barack and GE have some deal that he's told them he's going to war. You know, that if he gets in, he's a lock for a Syria war or a Iran war, and that's going to mean big dollars
he's
for GE.
He's never going to go to war. This president is a wuss. He will not send troops anywhere. Do you believe that today he actually called the Muslim Brotherhood Marxi?
Oh, that's crazy.
And congratulated him on his victory.
Yeah, the same guy, the party whose platform says there is no law but Sharia.
That's right. That's
wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful.
Muhammad is our God, and Sharia is our law.
I think you're right that this president. I think you're right that this president will not go to war, but in a different meaning. I don't think this president will actually ever ask Congress to declare war because he's too much of a wuss. But what he will do is engage in illegal actions like he did with Libya and, you know, engage in actual war actions without actually ever technically going to war.
We're not putting all those troops in Kuwait just to move them around, you know what I mean?
Well, do you believe that he's putting troops in Kuwait to react to Syria, or do you believe that he's putting troops in Kuwait to react to something else?
I think that everything we're doing in the Middle East is to rattle the saber at the Iranians. And if you look at where our troops are positioned in the Middle East, Iran is surrounded by us. We have troops all around those people. We're staging for an Iran war. Why we want to mess with those people, I don't know, because there's a lot of them. But that seems to be our next target. I think it's Iran.
Yeah, but you know what? Even though there's a lot of...
What do we have to gain from going to war with them?
Well, they cannot...
Well, you want my non-PC opinion as to why we do things in the Middle East? I believe that we destabilize nations in the Middle East so they're not a threat to our biggest ally in the region. And that's it.
That's not non-PC, Israel. I don't think that's non-PC. I agree with you there, Mike. I know you don't like that policy, but I agree with you that they are our ally in the region. But I got to be honest with you. I don't like Iran one bit. I don't like Libya one bit. I don't like Syria one bit. I don't like Turkey in some ways. And I got personal reasons for that. But I don't like them one bit. Any one of those Arab nations. And let me tell you why. Because those Arab nations, with the flotillas they bring into Israel, into the Gaza Strip, that they bring in all the time to create havoc over there for Israel, I got issues with that. And I know some people think that Israel is some totalitarian nation that, you know, wreaks all this havoc on Palestinians, a fake group of people.
Well, they are a racist nation.
You know what?
If you want to know about that, you ask how the
Netanyahu would argue with you. Bibi Netanyahu would argue with you, and I'd argue with you, because there are black Jews and there are black Jews and black Hebrews who are part of the military force there, who are part of the police force that is in Israel. So there are many people who would argue with you about that.
Not the Ethiopians who moved there as one of the lost
and
tribes.
And Ethiopian.
So.
There are Ethiopian Jews that are police officers there, too.
They're second-class citizens. They're not allowed to intermarry. Do you know that?
You know what? And really, do we argue with Sharia law on that? Do we argue with other Arab nations that do?
Well, hey, you know my philosophy on fairy tales, okay?
Okay.
I think they're all crazy fairy tales.
I know. Go ahead, Edward. What was your point?
I was going to say Mike has a very good point. I don't know if you know, recently there were some attacks against black Jews in Israel.
Right.
And they were very reminiscent of the Kristallnacht, which happened in Germany.
Yes. No, I remember all of that as well. But even Netanyahu would make the same argument that isolated incidents of racism does not make a nation racist.
I agree with that, totally.
You know,
I don't think we should also ignore the fact that there is a significant amount of, you know, racism in Israel.
Oh, no. And again, as you know, and this is, again, not giving them a pass. But, you know, not like it's, you know, that is the case everywhere. We have these cases. But that, again, I will not blanket an entire group. I just believe, you know, personally that, you know, those acts, I get this impression from the region in the Middle East. And this is my earlier point, is what I see from that region. The part that drives me the most nuts is that here you have a group of people, Palestinians. They're supposed to be Arabs. Right? They're surrounded by Arab nations, Syria, Libya, Egypt, Turkey, all of these places, you know, Lebanon, all of these places, Iraq even. These places have money. These places have wealth. Yet they allow people to live in the Gaza Strip and north of it, to live there in poverty, to keep them impoverished, to keep them enraged at their true enemy.
Well, hell, they live in poverty in those other countries, too.
I understand that, but it's not like these nations. These nations would rather rattle the cages of those poor Palestinians, bringing in flotillas, instead of doing what they should do, is making sure that those people live in some sort of peace and harmony. But no, groups like Hamas go over there, and they do nothing but, you know.
I think we should let them arm those people and let them fight it out.
Well, they are fighting it out, Mike. How are they fighting it out? You have people in Hamas who are firing missiles into Israel from schools. And Israel can't fight back, because if they fire a missile back at those targets, then it's, they're destroying our schools and killing our women and children. This is what they do. You can't fight back an enemy like that. That's the reason why we had problems in Iraq and Afghanistan. Because these people were hiding in villages with innocents, And you can't fight a war where you don't know who your enemy is or where they're hiding.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I'm conflicted on the issue because, you know, we're a nation who's supposed to stand against discrimination and oppression unless it happens, it's done by somebody who we have an alliance with. You know, we did the same thing in Egypt. You know, we backed Mubarak. For how many years was he in office?
30.
And he was the devil. He was as bad as Saddam Hussein.
And look,
he had secret police, and he disappeared people, and that was our boy. And now he's gone, and who do we have?
I agree with you there.
Only peace there because we bought those people off. You know, we bought Mubarak off not to start wars with the Israelis.
Right, but, you know, the same could be said, you know, when we talk about, you know, places like China. You know, China's not one of our friends, but we make no argument about the human the human rights violations in that country. We say nothing about them.
Well, yeah, because if we hack off China, we don't get iPhones.
You always end it perfectly, Mike. That's us for us tonight. Welcome to your week, Freaks on Radio. Thank you, Edward. Thank you, Mike in Florida. JC, the producer, and Mary, why are you bugging? I'm Freaks on the Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Come on, Obamacare!